1 million Americans are now living in poverty.
New Jersey Governor John Corzine is staring down the running security system.
Take a look at the cost to do business, banks doing business with other banks. Nobody trusts anyone.
I'm occupying Wall Street because if you're not outraged, then you're not paying attention.
I am occupying Wall Street because of the economy. I'm unemployed. I'm homeless.
I'm here because I care deeply about what's happening to the country. I'm 70 years old, and my entire life savings, my retirement, my IRA was literally embezzled by Wall Street brokers.
The people are getting nothing. People are losing their homes. People are losing their life savings. That ain't right, man.
We let these giant corporate banking behemoths rob the American people.
I want to see a system that works for everyone.
It's time for us as citizenry to stand up and say, this is unacceptable and we're not going to take it anymore.
I want to inform people that capitalism doesn't have to be the way it is.
This country needs an enema. Well, the world needs an enema.
So you have to ask yourself the question, what matters?
The weakest of all political demands is, give me something to vote for. On September 17th, we decided our bodies are our votes. Our voices are our victories. Our unity is power. We're here, and we ain't going nowhere.
And welcome to Occupy Wall Street Radio. My name is Tony Bates. I'm in studio with your hosts.
Hi, I'm Sade Adona, and I occupy Wall Street.
And hi, I'm Camille Raneem, and I occupy Wall Street.
And we want to welcome Camille. Camille is a new member of our Occupy Wall Street team. She'll be hosting. We saw each other in the park quite a bit, Camille. We didn't talk to each other much. We had a couple of conversations.
Yeah, here and there.
Here and there, but it's good to have you joining the team here. We look very much forward to having your voice on the program. And we're going to be doing a new segment that we'll be presenting later called Legislation on Lockdown that Camille has prepared. We're going to take the time through those segments to look at legislation like PIPA, like SOPA, like the NDAA legislation, and bring out a little bit of the details for you so that you, the audience, will know what's going on with that legislation. And so in the news today are the SOPA, which is the Stop Online Piracy Act, and PIPA, which has similar acronyms, but I can't recall at the moment, but that doesn't matter. We are talking about those because lots of action was taken today online. Over 7,000 or 8,000 sites shut down today to protest the possible signing of these bills, which are very dangerous to our Internet access. They seek to end free speech on the Internet. They seek to end our access to the Internet in the way that we've had it. And from the perspective of most folks, at least from this side of the aisle, they are dangerous to our access in general and to freedom in this country. So over 7,000, and what I think that's promising is politicians have begun to back away from the legislation today and in recent days. GoDaddy.com, who came out and said that they were in support, had a boycott hit them so hard. They lost so much money. Many, many people removed their money, removed their web domains from GoDaddy to show that they didn't support the legislation. And we've got a couple of special guests in the studio with us, joining us from our show that follows this show, which is Off the Hook. It's a hacker show, and these guys deal with SOPA and people on a regular basis. Who do we have in the studio with us? Introduce yourselves.
Good evening. I'm known as Rafty Firefly, and I'm from Off the Hook.
And I'm known as Dot Rut, also from Off the Hook.
And so what can you guys tell the audience about SOPA and PIPA and what SOPA and PIPA and what they will mean for the general public in terms of our access to the Internet?
Well, these are bills that are focused on trying to regulate the Internet. And as some of you might already know, the Internet has become monumental in the exercise of freedom of speech. And in a nutshell, what these bills basically represent is creating something that's kind of like the Great Firewall of China, but only in the United States. Like, it's been dubbed the Great Firewall of America. It would allow the government to pull websites off the Internet that they deem infringing on copyrights without actually very much oversight.
And it's not just governmental either. It's the huge deal about this is it gives private entities this power. The MPAA or other copyright and content owners would be able to get your site taken down by your service provider, delisted by the search engines, simply because they accuse you of breaking their copyright. There's no due process, no having to prove anything.
One of the big things that people have been complaining about was the to be able to have not just have Google search engines such as Google de-index websites so you can't search them anymore, but to actually have its domain name removed from the internet so that way if you try to go to the website it won't resolve to the IP address where the website is actually located. There's been some positive movement where in SOPA that was actually removed. However, in the Senate version of the bill, PIPA, it's still there. So if the Senate bill were to be passed, we still would be dealing with this firewalling type of scenario, which is also would actually damage the whole security of the internet. We're trying to make the actual domain name system more secure. And if they passed this sort of thing, there'd be no way to tell if a website has disappeared because the government has ordered it or because some malicious entity has broken into some domain name servers and removed a website.
That section is Guantanamo Bay for your domain name.
Yeah.
Basically. Yeah, basically. But it also, I mean, one part of the bill that frightens me is that people who have watched even copyrighted material are at risk of being arrested.
Yes, that's under SOPA, I believe. I don't know if that's in PIPA or not, but basically they want to criminalize the streaming of copyrighted content. So it's not just downloading anymore, but if you're accessing at all now, this means that you're breaking the law because people have gotten around the download thing by just streaming.
Yes, that means that if you listen to a song online that has been put up there without the permission of the artist or the copyright holder, or you watch a film online, you could be arrested under SOPA.
And the support has been trying to push this under the moniker that they're trying to protect jobs and that
someone's calling in to pledge.
start early. Now, based on the moniker that this is going to protect jobs and all these other nice sounding things, but in reality, the internet industry, if you will, is one of the most vibrant this country has, and this bill would have one of the most negative impacts that you can imagine. Most of these big websites that you have around, whether you're talking about Twitter, Tumblr, YouTube, they depend on user-submitted content, and the amount they get is so massive, there's no possible way to monitor all the users. This is just how the internet came about. It's a very democratic access that everyone has, the submission of content, and to try to impose this old ideal of how you the old time people are used to just wouldn't work. Most of these websites would end up having to shut down simply because they would have no way to continue their business model under these bills.
And the danger too in that one of the provisions in SOPA, I believe it's in SOPA, is that PayPal and other pay providers?
It's in both.
It's in both. Yeah. They would be able to stop payment and from any site that was deemed in violation of SOPA or PIPA. That means if you have a website there, they can simply shut down your commerce by with permission of PayPal, as you said before, without having to prove anything or without you can just be accused.
Yeah, and one point that I think our friends from Occupy Wall Street can really take to heart is that if you give anybody in power, whether it's the government, whether it's the content producing industry, the film industry, whatever, the power to just shut down websites they don't like with the flick of a switch, that power is going to be abused. And I think a fundamental fact of the structure of the internet is the fact that it is made to basically be under the control of those who provide the content. It's not something that is meant to be moderated like a private forum or like some sort of library. Nobody gets to choose who gets to see what. It's you're supposed to be able to go out and see what you want to. And if somebody now is able to tell you can't, where is that going to lead us?
And to think about that in the context of Occupy Wall Street and the attacks on your own media, from my perspective, in part this. This legislation is geared towards shutting down our access to alternative information. It is the way you built your entire movement online, on Twitter, on Facebook. They would be able to shut that down. How would that look? How would that look for Occupy Wall Street, for instance? And what would have happened? What would be the difference in the way your movement formed without access, the same access?
You know, a lot of our information that has been outsourced, or a lot of ways that we have been viewed on media, for one thing, live streaming is a big deal for our movement, for to see what's going on, to get the opinions of people, to actually show what the media, what major media doesn't show for the movement. It's halting. We use social networking such as Twitter, Facebook, YouTube. Everything, a lot of things people record are on YouTube. It shows what's actually really truly going on. It is a threat to our information, and as we see it, like, it's a machine that we're, you know, it kind of like, oh, you know, it controls the mind. At the same time, they're controlling the way we access our information, and it's totally threatening to our being right now, because they're like stopping education, and a lot of people use things like WikiLeaks, which aggregates information from all over the internet to one single place so that we are able to have information available at our hands. And it has given people a lot of freedom highway to create worlds for themselves, to create jobs, and it's a threat. I totally see it as a threat.
I spoke with one of our listeners today who said that speaking of the importance of media, because you had been portrayed in such a way in the press, when they walked by the park, they were reticent even to go in to speak to you. But after hearing this program and hearing, connecting with you as human beings, rather than the caricatures that you had been portrayed as in the media, they were able to then walk into the park, have a conversation, and realize that something was going on. It was, she said, the passion that she connected with in hearing your voices on this program and knowing that these are human beings who are passionate about something and have a message. And that had not been portrayed in the media. If we lose access to live streaming, access to the kinds of sites that aggregate stories in an alternative news way, we lose that version of Occupy, or that truth that we all have access to now. I doubt that anyone here gets a majority of their media from the mainstream media.
Oh, no.
No, I certainly haven't for years. I mean, as I watch mainstream media, I can barely consume it anymore, and that is because you just watch it and go, well, that's BS.
Yeah, not only is it just annoying and is a lot, so much of it full of BS, but it's lacking. There's so many things I just would not know if I didn't go out myself and go out on the internet and actually find alternative sources of news. You know, the mainstream news just does not really tell you very much. It just leaves people dumb.
You needed to know that Justin Bieber had his hair cut differently. Come on.
Oh, you know, there actually was a free Justin Bieber campaign, apparently, because the idea is he got his career started off by singing copyrighted R&B songs. And you, under one of these provisions, I don't know if they still have it in, but you be able to be put in jail over that.
Wow.
I feel like mainstream media plays more about like Basketball Wives or reality TV, which is not reality to a lot of people who are actually, like, say, Occupy Wall Street, are out there trying to change what is perceived as reality in the media. And that's one of the things that we have access to when we're on the internet. Like, when I was first introduced to the internet, it was just like, well, what am I supposed to do with this? And then, I mean, just going from, like, dictionary or finding definitions, or I can go across the world in 5 seconds and figure out what's going on in China or in Africa. I can connect and talk to people in other countries. I can get this information in, and to have them like taking that, to halt that from you is really, you know, it's sad, you know, but we have to like make people aware of this, and we can't make people aware like because we're not going to have this available at our hands.
Yeah, and I think Occupy Wall Street 30 years ago, 20 years ago, even 10 years ago couldn't have happened like it's happened now. And the fact of the matter is that the Internet is enabling us, because the Internet is the first time that people are able to get the news directly from the people who are there on the ground, so to speak, without it having to filter through some news corporation or other corporation that has a narrative they already want to they already want to put out there, and they just want to pick and choose what news and what facts fit their views, versus people who just want to get out there what's really happening. I mean, this is what started back in the 60s, and so when, like, the yippies were photostatting newsletters and things like that, but that was so limited compared to what we have now, and it's huge, it's powerful, and those in power, whether they be, you know, the businesses or the governments or whatever, are afraid of it, because as well they should be.
Because they can no longer control the narrative.
Right. The big hallmark of the Internet is the fact that everyone has equal access, and everyone, not just to what they can receive, but what they can put out there. You know, this is not just some strange little technology that some little nerds in some corner and wherever they are. You know, this is actually changing the world. Revolutions are facilitated by social media now. This is not something that anyone could have ever imagined before. And realizing this, you know, freedom of society is directly proportionate to the freedom of information. And any bill from any government that tries to limit or regulate how people access information is just not a good thing.
Ultimately, it is not. And again, we have seen that the media, the mainstream media, have begun to lose their outlets, their papers closing down everywhere, because people have turned to the Internet for their information. People no longer trust those sources of news. People no longer trust that they can turn on and listen to that nonsense, that drivel, really, and be informed. And so especially folks from your generation have turned to the Internet to receive their news, to inform themselves. I've said for years that I can see how controlled the news is when I turn on every channel and I see the same story in the same way, at the same time, with the same perspective, even the human interest story. You're telling me only one cat got stuck in a tree in New York and all the reporters from all the major networks went to that one tree to film that one cat in the whole of the five boroughs? What's being fed to you is being controlled. It's being spoon-fed because there is a particular perspective. The Internet is what has changed that. They're literally losing money at this point. These media outlets are losing money because they no longer have the access to our minds that they once had, and that is due specifically to the Internet, and these bills, SOPA and PIPA, seek to shut that down. And we're here to stand up against that. So as we mentioned earlier, we have a new segment that we are going to introduce to you. It has been produced by our very own, our new host, Camille Raneem. Camille, you might tell us a little bit about the segment and the name of it and what we're going to do with it.
Right. Well, Liberty on Lockdown is basically dedicated to getting people more involved with the legislation and with their government again. And this is very important for two reasons. First of all, if we were involved with our government, we wouldn't need a revolution. And we also wouldn't need to be sure that we needed to protect our sources of information. Things like C-SPAN aren't even on basic television anymore. So we are so disconnected from what goes on in our actual government, and so disempowered from participating in that, that our government is able to get away with some really, really awful things at this point. The other important reason that we need to be looking at legislation is that it's because there is a revolution going on, and that revolution is under fire, and so are people's rights. So, and that's something that my guest Heidi had spoke about. So, why don't we tune in?
Let us develop a kind of dangerous business.
This is Camille Raneem recording from WBAI Studios in New York with Liberty on Lockdown on Occupy Wall Street Radio. We have Heidi Boghossian here, Executive Director for the National Lawyers Guild and co-host of Law and Disorder on WBAI Radio. How are you today, Heidi?
I'm great, thanks.
Well, thank you for joining us.
My pleasure.
So, did you ever think that you would see laws like the NDAA being passed in the U.S.?
Well, given some of the developments over the past several years, I'm not surprised, because we've actually been seeing components of the NDAA being used, and I think what we've seen now is it's being codified in law. So, in effect, practices that the government under Bush and Obama have been engaging in are now sort of set in cement.
So, what kind of dangers do you see emerging from bills like the NDAA and the Enemy Expatriate Act? And, I mean, if you could just give an idea of what the fear that they're responding to is.
The fear that the lawmakers are responding to?
Yes.
Well, we've seen a lot of rhetoric since the events of 9/11 of domestic terrorism, and we've seen laws such as the Animal Enterprise Terrorism Act passed in 2006 that basically vilify vigorous activism on U.S. soil, in that case by animal rights and also environmental activists. I think what we're seeing is hyped up rhetoric that really penalizes individuals who dare to speak out politically and to do so in a vocal and effective manner, much like Occupy Wall Streeters are doing.
So do you think that there's any direct correlation between the emergence of the Occupy movement in the U.S. and these provisions, that being Section 10, 1021 and 1022 in the NDAA? Do you think that there's a connection between these two?
Well, I wouldn't be surprised, much as in the case of the USA Patriot Act, which was legislation that I think was, had pretty much been written and was then unveiled quickly after 9/11. I wouldn't be surprised if this legislation had been written and then brought out at what I think is, as you seem to indicate, kind of a seminal moment in terms of the state of activism in this country. So nothing surprises me on that front. I think that in 2006 we saw the Military Commissions Act, which also, in the National Lawyers Guild opinion, violates the Constitution and affords really extraordinary power to the executive branch. That created the term unlawful enemy combatant. So that essentially if the president says you're a terrorist, you are one. And I think that the NDAA goes a step further, allowing Americans to be the target of laws that probably initially were aimed at so-called terrorists from other countries or enemy combatants. And it allows the military basically to pick anyone up, to hold them without charge or trial, if they want, on a military brig.
Right. So do you have any advice for either activists who possibly face some consequences from the passage of this bill, or even for communities that have been subject to the tactic of indefinite detention in the past, that being immigrant communities or Muslims?
Right, and I think your point that as the word terrorism or radical Islam has sort of come to replace communism in our government's lexicon of fear, it's really important for targeted communities and activists to first be familiar with the law, which still has enough vague definitions in it that we can't really know how it's going to be used. But I think the most important lesson is to continue to speak out, to not let this legislation intimidate and silence people. Because once that happens, the government has essentially done what it wants to do.
Thank you so much for your time. That's exactly kind of why we're doing this show, just to keep people informed and keep them from being afraid to speak out. So thank you so much for your time, Heidi.
My pleasure.
This is Camille Raneem recording from WBAI Studios in New York with Liberty on Lockdown on Occupy Wall Street Radio.
The homeland is part of the battlefield, and people can be helped without a trial, whether an American citizen or not.
And welcome back to Occupy Wall Street Radio. Thank you, Camille, so much for that report. And it is important. I think the point that you leave with is the important point that people must still speak out, that, as Heidi said, when we become intimidated is when we lose. And Sade, you were with some of those people yesterday down at Occupy Congress.
Yes, and it was absolutely amazing. So a lot of people converged from all over the occupations, all over the state. Met some people who had gotten kicked off of the bus from Occupy San Diego. There's Toronto there, Boston, Occupy Mexico, San Francisco, Oakland, Portland. I mean, just occupations all over the place. We had a what we call a Voltron GA, which was at the on the grass at the state capitol. And there was music, there was food, there was smiling and hugging. So the action that took place was to go to the Congress building as a swarm and go inside and talk to the person who represents you as your congressman and ask them why. Some people delivered pink slips. So I actually got into Maurice Hinchey's office, and he wasn't there. We talked to his communications advisor, who basically he read a list off of the things that he said nay or a for, which was he at voting for NDAA, he voted for nay, which I was reading his list off. I was like, oh, maybe it's not that bad. You know, thinking, I'm going to tell this guy what for. And then it's like, oh, it's not really, maybe he's not that bad of a guy. You know, but, you know, he sold us on the idea that he's not that bad of a guy. That's what they're supposed to do. That's what they're hired to do. So I ended up writing a letter, not so much about, like, NDA or ACT, but thanking him for voting, not so much in favor of Occupy Wall Street, but in favor of what he thinks is right for the people of his country and that he's representing. And then, you know, just kind of making a kind of a plea to please keep his intentions for the people that he's representing, because we want to be behind you, but we have this idea in our head that all people in politics are kind of monsters. And, like, that's my idea when I went in there, just, like, you know, being lost in the congressman's building is one thing, to be in your office thinking I'm facing the beast now. It's a different thing. After that, we came out, we marched. We marched again, took a little tour of D.C., which was around the Supreme Court buildings, around the state capitol, and to the White House, and kind of posted up on the fence and had a GA there. Some people sat down and meditated. Other people were trying to find food. But we kind of sat there and converged, and we shared our ideas. We talked about process. We talked about future plans for future actions. One that's coming up is May Day. Another is September 17th. So it's like the reunion and anniversary of 1 year of occupying. And
it feels like it's been a year already.
It's been 4 months. and then we also talked about world actions, because Occupy is not just a national thing. It's very much so global, and it has impacted the world so much that people are coming from all over the place to this one place to converge and share these ideas and share this love. And how can we push this movement forward and to do more of outreaching? So we reached in to reach out, and it was a beautiful thing.
Oh, that's fantastic. That's just about all the time we have tonight for Occupy Wall Street Radio. I do want to say that we're keeping our eye on Occupy San Francisco, who have the plans this weekend, this Friday, to shut down their financial district. They have 55 organizations joining with them. We'll keep our eye on that and try to bring a report to you and let you know what's going on here. Thank you so much for listening to Occupy Wall Street Radio. Coming up next is the show of our guests, Off the Hook. Thank you so much for being with us and listening to Occupy Wall Street Radio.
You swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
That's the way it's done.
Right. So why don't you tell everyone what the right to do? Film the police when I take for the underclass. Get the face, name, and number on the badge. They blast me black back when they act disorderly. We act accordingly and capture order we see. Nice things, zip ties, and tasers. Think your license for tight, vicious behavior. Make the tightness with the video trace or the big like this. He tripping, you make a blame us. Explain to a judge about you overstepping. 2011, time to change our method. We ain't in lenses like a safe weapon. Today, remember whose goddamn streets they're protecting, yeah. They'd rather see me in a cell than me in my cell with a different story to tell. Can't pull up out of dash next time you get stopped. Reach for the celly if you want to shoot a cop. On the front of the sidewalk, you can take what you see. Or film from your window with the view of the street. Neighborhood crime watch, we police the police. They can't arrest the whole community because the streets clock. These cops occupy blocks, harassing the homeless with guitars and pulling blocks. They stop local protests and let off shots. Abuse prostitutes and misuse power they got. In memory of the victims who were never forgot. We gotta exercise our right to shed light in the dark. There is an army on the march that doesn't want you to watch. You got a weapon in your pocket, whether you know it or not.